Okay, so we are getting ready to start. And today is May 11th, 2015. Okay, so we'll start with doing homage to the Buddha one time. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Okay, so now we're doing the grammar review of lesson 10. Okay, so this deals with the genitive absolute. But since we're doing the genitive absolute, we might as well do both the locative absolute and genitive absolute together. Can anybody give, in a nutshell, an explanation what is a locative absolute?
A way to combine the secondary clause to the main clause.
Okay, that's good. Okay. But there's something more particular about the secondary clause. Can you say what's particular about the secondary clause?
Secondary clause?
Yeah.
Something particular.
Yeah, to make it more specific.
Oh, so basically it means when something happens. And this when this main clause is happening, and something's
okay,
also
okay.
Happening.
Yeah, okay, that's right. So, in the secondary clause, there is a subject different from the subject of the main clause, and the subject in the secondary clause has done something or is doing something, which is different from the action that was done or is being done by the subject of the main clause. So let me take a good, simple example. Okay, so here the Buddha is speaking about his enlightenment. Okay, so he says, maybe this is such a good example. Let's see. Okay, so in this sentence we have tasmin patti tite vinyane virulhe ayating punabhav abhini bhati hoti. So we have the main clause is...
Ante, do you want to share the screen?
Okay, thank you for reminding me.
Thank you.
Okay, so here the main clause, ayating puna bhavabini bhati hoti. So this means, ayating means future, puna bhava means renewed existence, new existence, abhini bhati production. So future production of again existence occurs. That's the main clause. The subject is punabhav abhini bhati, the production of renewed existence. The verb is hoti, occurs. Then this is the secondary clause. Tasmin, here the subject is vijnana, consciousness. And it's described as patitite, established, and virulhi, starting to grow, growing. So when that consciousness is established and has started to grow, see, that's the secondary clause, then there is the production of again existence. Okay, here's another example with the present participle. Imasmin chapana vayakaranasmin banyamane tingsa matanang bikunang anupadaya asavehi chitani vimuchingsu. So this is the secondary clause. First, we'll take the main clause. We have the subject of the main clause is chitani, the minds. And whose minds? The minds of 30 monks. So the minds of 30 monks. Then we have the verb vimuchingsu. Were freed or liberated. So the minds of the 30 monks were liberated from asavas. The asavas are the defilements. Okay, so this is the main clause. In the secondary clause, this is an action that is occurring at the same time as the main action is occurring. But there's...
Are you okay?
But there's a different subject. What is the subject here? Vayakaranasmin. Vayakaranasmin means an explanation. And then that goes with imasmin. Imasmin. Vayakaranasmin. When this explanation, banyamane, this means was being spoken. Banyamane, it's a present participle based on the verb banati. Banati means to speak. So banati means to speak. And then to make it passive, so you make the passive with the YA, so it would become banya. But when you have the N and Y sound, it would be represented like this. Banyati would mean to be spoken, is said, is being said. But this is banyamane, is a present participle. So it has the sense of being said, was being spoken. And so notice, these are all locative forms. Imasmin, vayakaranasmin, locative singular. That is the subject. And banyamane is describing that subject. And so this is the secondary clause. When this explanation was being spoken, so subject, and present participle in the locative, then the main clause, Chitani Vimuchingsu, the minds were liberated. That is, the minds of the 30 monks were liberated from the asavas. Okay, now let's look at this sentence. Okay, this is the main clause. What is the subject? This is a little tricky.
Chitte.
This is the main clause. What is the subject? First you have to look at the verb. What kind of verb is this? No, I'm not. I know how to pronounce it. What kind of verb?
Is it causative?
Very good. It's a causative. But what person and tense is it? Person and number. What is that?
Is it singular?
It's singular and what person? First, second, third?
Third person?
Right, third person. It's third person singular. So now we need a third person singular subject for it. Venerable Sagarananda got it. It's a little tricky because the subject is not in this clause itself, but you see, the primary clause is actually...
It's so?
Yeah, it's so. I mean, it's the word so. You see, the primary clause is so... So asavanam kaya jnanaya chitang abhininameti. He bends or directs the mind to the knowledge of the destruction of the defilements. So that is the primary clause. Then we have the secondary clause. And what is this? The subject of the secondary clause. Right, chitte. And then chitte is described by three other words, which are all, they're actually all past participles functioning as adjectives. So we have samahite, which means collected or concentrated. Parisuddhe means purified. Pariyodate, similar meaning, cleaned, cleansed. And so when we translate this into English, we would use the word when. When his mind was thus concentrated, purified, cleansed, he... Then what is the function of the word chitang here? What is its grammatical form, its case?
Accusative.
Right. It's the accusative. And as the accusative, what is its role or its position?
Object.
Right. Object of what?
His
mind. Well, something is an object of a verb, of an action. Right, it's the object of the verb abhininameti. So he, that's speaking about the monk, directs the mind to the destruction, to the knowledge of the destruction of the defilements. So that is the main clause. But then the secondary clause, to show that it's secondary, the noun and the words describing it are put in the locative. So we have samahite, locative singular, parisude, locative singular, pariyodate, locative singular, because they're all describing chitte, which is the subject of the secondary clause. And that means mind. Okay, let us now take the genitive absolute. Okay, the genitive absolute is similar to the locative absolute, except it seems to me that in the genitive absolute, it's describing something, a situation where something is happening to the actual subject of the experience. And the subject of the experience is put in the genitive case together with a present participle or a past participle describing it. And then the thing that is happening to the subject, the event, is put in the nominative together with a regular verb. Okay, so take this. Maybe this is a better example. Okay, this is a good example. A simple example. Tassa evang janato evang pasato kamasavapi chitang vimuchati. So here, the main clause would be this, kamasavapi chitang vimuchati. And so what is the subject here?
Chitang.
Right. So chitang is the subject. And the verb, what is happening to the subject?
Vimuchati
is freed, is liberated. Okay, and this is happening to somebody who is doing something else. So the one to whom it is happening is put in the genitive. So we have tassa evang janato, for him, thus knowing, evang pasato, thus seeing. You see, so when the person is doing something, that is, when he is knowing and seeing in a particular way, then something happens to him, that is, his mind is liberated from the defilements.
Sorry, I wanted to add a question.
So yeah.
If we use this example as a case, if we apply the locative absolute, what would the meaning of the sentence be changed to?
Mm. Excuse me?
So we say, is it Janato, we say Janat, is it Janato?
It could be Janati, yeah, or Janantasman.
So the meaning would...
I think if that were to be done, first I don't think we would find that. That's the easiest answer.
Mm-hmm. But if we deliberately make it that way.
It would seem to suggest that one person is knowing and seeing in a certain way, but the mind of another person is being liberated.
Okay.
You know, it would create a greater distance between the secondary clause and the main clause. So maybe we could say, in fact, I think we have it up here. Like in this case, okay, we have, you see, here we have the locative absolute while the discourse was being spoken. But we might even put this into the active. So we say, Bhagavati Chapana Desanang Okay, so here we have a sentence with a locative absolute. Here, Bhagavati is the Blessed One. So while the Blessed One, then Basamane is a present participle with an active sense, speaking. Mm-hmm. And Desanang is teach a discourse. Or you could say Dhammang, maybe. Okay. So while the Blessed One was speaking the Dharma, then the minds of the 30 monks were liberated. You see, here there's really two separate subjects, two separate people. But in this example, the mind that is liberated is the mind of the person who is knowing and seeing. Let's take some other examples so that we'll bring out the sense.
So, Bhante, would that mean if this number, the tassa evam janato, would be in the locative, it would sort of mean somebody knows this and some other mind out there would be free? It would be obvious that the mind was of that person.
Yeah.
I see.
But you wouldn't find that, though, because it would imply that somebody could acquire knowledge and then somebody else's mind could be freed. Okay, let's take this example. Ayoni so manasi karoto. Here, the present participle represents the person, but let me just change it a little bit so that we have a person. Okay, we'll say bhikkhuno. Okay, so this is Ayoniso manasi karoto bhikkhuno. That is, when a monk is attending unwisely or carelessly, anupanna asava upajanti, then unarisen defilements arise. Upanacha asava pavadanti, and arisen defilements increase. And then yoniso chako manasi karoto bhikkhuno. So here I put in the subject so it's clear that when a monk is reflecting wisely or carefully, unarisen defilements do not arise, and arisen defilements are abandoned. You see, so this is the genitive absolute, and so we have a subject here, that is the monk, who's represented in the genitive, and then he's described by the present participle, ayoniso manasi karoto, yoniso manasi karoto. Then what happens to him? You could just make it simple. Just simplify it, the main point. So then this asava is the subject of the main clause. And that, its action is indicated by the main verb, upajanti. And then here the opposite case. Again, we have the main subject of the asavas, the subject of the main clause, do not arise, that's the verb, na upajanti, they do not arise. And then the subject to whom they happen, this happens, is put in the genitive, in this case singular, the monk who is attending wisely.
Bhante?
Yeah.
Could you take that second, the next one too? It looks a little complicated. That young hiyasa.
Yeah, it is a little complicated.
Mind.
Okay, let me just. Okay, here, yeah, this gets a little confusing because it uses irregular word order. Let me shift the sentence around to use regular word order. Maybe that will make it clearer. Okay, so here we have asa, that is for him, upati sevato, who does not use something what that was mentioned. So for one who does not use, I think it speaks about using robes, alms food, a dwelling place, and medicines. So for one who does not use certain things, then the asavas, the defilements, and then this is like a description of the defilements. Vigata means vexation, and parilaha means a fever. But they're being used together like an adjective to describe the asavas. So I say distressing and feverish. So the asavas, distressing and feverish, arise. Then pati sevato means for one using that. Evang asa, for him, te asava, those defilements, distressing and feverish, do not occur. So here we have the genitive absolute, well, first we take the main subject. Look for the main subject. This is asavas. And the verb would be upajayung, might arise. And then we have another main subject. Another, almost another sentence with its main subject, te asava, those defilements, and its verb, nahonti, do not occur. Okay, then the genitive absolute here. Would be asa upati sevato. See, this is a negative which is based on the verb pati sevati. So this is the main verb pati sevati, which means to use. Then the present participle, nominative singular would be pati sevanto, but here we have it in the genitive singular, so it becomes pati sevato. And then in this clause, it's the negation, so upati sevato. And here we have it in the positive, pati sevato. So for one not using and for one using. Is it clear?
Yeah, and but what is that young in the front?
Yeah. The thing is, like, this is actually part of a sentence which continues. So the young here has a sense of since, because the defilements arise in one case when one doesn't use them, and they don't arise when one makes use of them, then this should be followed by a therefore he does such and such.
So here asa is the genitive and not the optative third person.
Yes, oh. It's not the optative.
Okay, thank you.
It's means for him, for this one. Should we do one more? Good that I simplify it. Okay, here. Where do we draw the boundary between the secondary clause and the main clause?
Vayamato.
Right. So, vayamato is the ending of the secondary clause. Okay, what is the subject of the secondary clause?
Kulaputasa.
Right. Kulaputasa, that means, you say a young man. Literally it means the son of a family. Okay, what is the subject of the primary clause? Actually, there's three clauses here. But let's consider this the primary clause.
Boga.
Right. Boga, which it's plural, so we could say, yeah, that's why I translated it wealths, even though that doesn't sound natural. We might say that those goods, those enjoyments. Okay, then we have the present participle. What is the present participle? Describing the kulaputta.
Vayamato.
That means striving, making an effort. So if while that young man is striving, then those wealths na abhi nipajanti. This means to be acquired, to be achieved. So if that wealth is not achieved, then here we have the third clause, but still with the main subject. Or actually, with the personal subject. So he, Sochati, he sorrows. Okay, we'll take this one last type. Last example. Okay, this is speaking about a certain monk who tried to slander Sariputta and Moggallana. His name is Kokalika. So we have a past participle, pakanta. Pakanta means left, departed. Then Uchira Pakanta means not long after he departed. And so here, this is all describing the monk Kokalika. So, not long after the monk Kokalika had departed. So that's the secondary clause. The main clause, what is the subject?
Kayo.
Right. And kayo is described subo kayo, which means all the body, the whole body. Then what happened to the body? puto ahosi. Puto means pervaded or covered. So his whole body became covered with pilakahi. Pilakahi are like boils or pimples. Then sasa is a mustard seed, sasapa. And mutta is size. So his whole body became covered with boils the size of mustard seeds. Then the boils keep on growing, they get bigger and bigger until, and then they break open, and then he dies. Okay, that's quite a lot of time we did used on participles. Any questions?
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
In the previous example,
yeah.
Why can those wealth are not acquired be using locative absolute?
Say again.
In the previous example,
yeah.
There's a sentence about those wealth are not acquired.
Can you turn it up?
And can it be used in locative absolute?
Oh, I see. You're saying if while that young man is striving, and then you think te boga na upi ni pajanti, that this should be put in the locative absolute? Is that what you're saying?
Otherwise the connection between this sentence and so chati,
yeah.
It's not. Then they become two independent sentences with no connection at all.
No, I think that there is the connection is established by the word che, if. So, you see, che, let me put it this way. This sentence has actually three clauses. Of which two are primary, and one of the primary clauses is a let me put it this way. Let me explain it a different way. This sentence is a conditional. A conditional means when there's a condition, means if X happens, then Y happens. We'll call this the X clause and the Y clause, or the condition and the consequence, right? Okay, now in this sentence, the conditional clause, the X clause, has two sub-clauses. That is, if he makes an effort and the wealth is not acquired. So that is the condition, two aspects to the condition. And then the why clause just is one clause. He sorrows. And so the X clause, because it's complex, so it's indicated by using the genitive absolute and a regular nominative subject verb structure. Do you see?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions about this? Okay, so now we've covered much more thoroughly than the book does genitive absolutes and locative absolutes. It's just that the book explains how also to represent a locative absolute, the text can use the verb utti, which means to be, to exist, and it will use the present participle of the verb utti, which is sati. So we have this most famous example, the most common example, is in the formula for dependent origination. Okay, this is a little slow starting up. I'll come back to this when this gets started. Okay, the gerund. Okay, this just explains how the gerund can be used to link together a series of actions. I've given the example in English numbers of times. Okay, in ordinary English we would say, the boy received some money from his mother. He went to the store, bought a carton of milk, and came back home. In Pali, it would be, we would use the gerund to connect these actions. Having taken some money from his mother, having gone to the store, having bought a carton of milk, the boy returned home. Right? So here they give an example. Okay. Eka iti putang adaya muka dovanataya panditasa pokaranin ganfa putang nahapetva Atano sanake nisi dapetva mukang dovidva nahatung otari. So one woman, having taken her son, having gone to the lotus pond of the pandita, of the wise man, for the purpose of washing her face, then, having bathed her son, having put him down on her own garment, having washed her face, entered the pond in order to bathe. So you see, all of these actions are connected with by using the gerund. Okay. Okay, next item. A present or past participle may modify a preceding or a following noun. Then the participle and the noun must agree in number, case, and gender. And the construction may have the sense of an English relative clause, particularly when the participle follows the noun. Okay, so here we have sila sampano puriso. So this is a man or a person, sila sampano. Sampano is a past participle, meaning possessed of or endowed with. Sila is virtuous conduct. So this is a person endowed with virtuous conduct. And then the example they give here, chitang dantang mahato ataya sangvatati. So this is, chitang is the subject, the mind. Then the mind is described with the past participle, dantang, which means tamed. The mind, in English we would have to use which is. The mind which is tamed leads to great good. Okay, here we have, going back to the present, to the locative absolute, here we have the locative absolute for the verb ati in the formula for dependent origination. The locative absolute is, in this case, it's sati, which doesn't mean mindfulness. It has nothing to do with mindfulness, completely different word. This is the present participle of ati, to be. So this has the meaning when existing. So, ataka vipassi sasa bodhisattasa yoniso manasikara ahu panyaya abhisamayo vinyane ko sati namarupang hoti vinyana pachaya namarupanti. So here we actually have a genitive absolute and the locative absolute in the same sentence. So we have the genitive absolute first. You see the genitive singular form, vipassisa, bodhisattasa, to the bodhisattva, vipassi. That was the seventh Buddha before Gautama. So to the bodhisattva. Actually, it's not the genitive. Is it a genitive absolute? Because there's no participle, actually. But it's a genitive form in which, yeah, it's not a genitive absolute because there's no participle. But the subject is being acted upon passively, so the actual subject comes in the genitive. So to the bodhisattva vipassi, then yoniso manasikara, through careful attention, ahu, this is an aorist, meaning there was, panyaya abhisamayo. Abhisamaya is a breakthrough or realization. Panyaya, through wisdom. We could have made this a genitive absolute by changing this noun into a participle. Vipassisa bodhisattasa yoniso manasi karontasa. Then when it becomes karontasa, present participle, then this would be a genitive absolute. Okay, but the way it is here, manasikara is a noun. In what case? Singular is a number, not a case. Suki. Right, it's the ablative. It means through wise attention. So for the bodhisattva vipassi, through wise attention, there was, ahu, there was, with wisdom, a breakthrough, a realization. Then the realization, vinyane ko sati. So this is locative singular. There, when there is consciousness, namarupang hoti, name and form comes to be. Vijnana pachaya namarupam. What is vijnana pachaya? What case?
Is it another ablative?
It's another ablative. It means through the condition of consciousness, there is name and form. So name and form, in a way the verb is sort of implied, namarupang hoti, name and form, or upajati, name and form arises through consciousness as condition. Okay, shall we go on in the book? What do you need? Okay, we take a break. Okay, it's 2:12. Yeah. Time goes so quickly. Okay, we take a break, 10-minute break. Then I'm going to have to finish everything very quickly. Excuse me?
You're dehydrated, I can see. I drink a lot, that's why I said a break. I drink, I can see. I think you got sunburned and the body's dehydrated.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
We were sitting at about an hour and 20 minutes under that hot sun. This has 15 grams of sugar.
Oh, it's not just coconut water?
Coconut water has sugar inherently.
Yeah.
Well, it's sweet. It's like juice.
Sugar. Wow.
But some sugar is okay if you're dehydrated.
Well, it's okay for others.
I can help.
And then you need a lot more water.
Really? I don't know.
I'm gonna take a look at that.
You don't believe it?
No, I do, but 15 grams of sugar.
What is that?
I said I bought you coconut water before, but not with that much sugar.
You bought this one?
No, Stephen bought that one.
Not Carolyn approved.
No, not Bunty approved.